Hello, welcome to the Last Chapter podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Kate.
And today, we're going to do things a little different. You see, I did not read the book, except seven chapters, but Mr. Jonel Diaz definitely read the book, so he is going to be leading our conversation today about Stephen King's Needful Things.
I will call him Mr. Jonel Diaz from here on out.
Yeah, you should. Sure. He said he'll take it.
Well, yeah, she can be the face of the family.
It's Aunt Jo and Sergeant Diaz over here. Like, every time. It's just like, oh, it's Aunt Jo and Sergeant Diaz. That's how my kids know you.
Sergeant. Yeah. Yeah, and he was the only one who read the book. Like I promised that I was going to read the book, guys. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to totally do it. Did not. So, yeah.
It happens.
Okay. All right.
Best intentions.
Tell these people about this book.
Anyway, I'll be 100% honest. The thing, when Joe came to me and said, hey, we're going to be reading Stephen King, and we were trying to pick which one to do, I remembered the Rick and Morty episode where they spoofed Needful Things. And so I was like, hey, why not? You know, I kind of know how that plays out already. We'll read the book. And the Rick and Morty spoof missed one key feature. And that was that the things that Mr. Gaunt, the I guess antagonist, mm-hmm. sells in his shop are not cursed. Like, they don't curse you with, you know, oh, you now you're a champion boxer, but you're stuck in the same match from 19 whatever.
Okay.
Rather, he plays the same game on you. Like, I'll give you the example. For the very first customer at his shop, is a little boy named Brian, and he wants a baseball card, a very specific baseball card. Sandy Koufax, I believe, was the name of the player he wanted. And so Mr. Gaunt just so happens to have a card from the exact year of the exact player that Brian wants. And isn't it just a wild coincidence? It happens to actually be signed by Mr. Koufax. And it's signed to his friend Brian. Isn't that just something? What a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
And so as the boy is, you know, like, well, this is great, you know, Mr. Gaunt, but there's no way I'd be able to afford it. Mr. Gaunt's like, I like wheeling and dealing. Make me an offer. And so this baseball card that evidently was supposed to sell for, I don't know, $100 or something back then. I say back then, the 1990s.
are you calling us old?
Yeah, look, I think he is.
Look,
that was an attack.
I don't. I received my own assault right there. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm reading this book and I'm like, man, I was like 5 when all this was going down. But either way, so yes, he ends up selling the card to the kid, and I actually loved the way that played out, the way Stephen King wrote it, which, by the way, I listened to it on Audible, and Stephen King was the narrator for the book on Audible, so that was interesting. But the kid is remembering the process, and he's like, I couldn't believe it, you know? He sold me the card for 85 cents. I only had like 87 cents or some such thing in my pocket. And he sold me the card for that. And I just couldn't believe it. It's such a deal. I was so lucky. He said something else about that I had to do a thing for him. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was something about playing a trick. I can't remember. But I'm just so happy to have this card.
Oh.
And that's where Mr. Gaunt gets you. He gives you the item. He makes you pay some form of cash for it just to make you feel like you're doing a deal. But it's the task. That's where he really gets you.
And this is a perfect opportunity for me to input. It's so old, guys. So if our listeners have not read this book or heard about it, I'm sorry, but there are spoilers ahead. It's also old. He called us old. It is old. You should have read it.
Now it's bugging me because now I have a question. So you said Stephen King does the Audible or whatever, the reading.
Yeah.
And Joe mentioned that there's a bunch of sex scenes. So did you Listen, is that what you got to listen to? Is Stephen King read his own sex scenes? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes, yes. The worst one, the one that just oh goodness gave me the willies. Listen to it, was one of Mr. Gaunt's customers. I can't remember who. There's so many characters in the book. I really stopped being able to remember people's names other than like the primary two people, the sheriff, who ironically I have forgotten his name already, and his girlfriend, whose name is Polly. Mm. But you know, there's so many characters, I lose track of who, and so many of them want roughly the same things. It's usually the items that I start to identify each character with. But like these two characters both wanted the same thing. One of them got a picture of Elvis Presley, and one of them got a pair of sunglasses that were supposed to be owned by Elvis Presley. And both of these items had the magical ability to let them transport themselves, like astral projection style, to another realm. And there, they could have sex with Elvis Presley.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
like...
Yeah.
Please tell me they weren't like Priscilla's age.
Oh.
Oh, they were, two of them were, well, no, they were both moms. They were both, adults. No children. There was only one weird scene with a child. You know what? Now that I've said that, I have to hit on that one first because that's going to be way too awkward to wait for.
Yeah.
So the main character, Brian, he's got a huge crush on his language
English teacher. I think
no, not English teacher. He has difficulty with speaking, and so he has a special teacher that teaches him how to speak properly.
Speech therapist.
That's the word. Holy crap! Yeah, he has a huge crush on his speech therapist, and so he has a little wet dream that is described very well in the book. And I'm like, oh, okay, are we talking about this?
He's 10, I think, right?
No, he's actually like 12.
Okay,
it's his little brother that's like 9. And we don't do anything like weirdness with his little brother.
I mean, 12 is still weird, guys.
It is.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And it's especially weird, like, listening to Stephen King read this out, talking about the teacher, like, reaching down and putting her hand down his pants. I'm like, oh, okay, hold on, guy. What are we doing here? Like, no.
Wood chipper.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, like, the more I learn about the stuff that he's written, and now I've read this myself, or listened to it myself, and I'm like, oh, okay. So you are a bit of a weirdo, huh?
And then there's the level of it, because first he wrote it.
But yeah.
And so now you know that his mind makes those things up. But now he's reading it aloud, and it's just, like, two levels of...
Yes.
Ick.
Yeah, I kind of have to imagine that he felt at least a little awkward with some of it, just the way he was narrating. Especially the scene where he's talking about how one of the ladies with the Elvis, I think it was the lady with the Elvis Presley glasses, walked into the dimension with Elvis to go have sex with the king, and the other lady with the picture is there, currently having sex with the king. And so he's like, yeah! And so he's like, making the sounds that the one lady with the picture is currently making as she's having sex with the king. And I'm like, I hope you feel as awkward reading this as I feel listening to you read it.
So I think that it'll be like important before we carry on, to maybe give our listeners like a little bit of backstory, like what is Needful Things about?
Oh, sorry. So Needful Things is, I'm trying to think of what the underlying story is. If a deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. And also, don't just harbor negative emotions. Be an adult, come out, talk with people about it. Because that's the big weapon that Mr. Gaunt uses on everybody in Castle Rock, is that nobody talks to each other. Everybody just assumes that they know what everyone else is thinking. Oh, I know that she's got to be the one that destroyed my garden. I know, because she hates me so much. I just know it. No, you don't. Talk to her. Ask her, you know? And that's what his big thing is. And so the big story of Needful Things is that this gentleman, Mr. Gaunt, comes into town. And over the course of a week, like, he is efficient. He sells items to half the town and gets half the town to pull quote-unquote pranks on the other half of the town, which drives everyone into murderous rage. Like, the Catholics and the Baptists literally have a knockdown drag out on Main Street murdering each other by the end of it. Yeah, like, he gets everybody involved. Catholic. I don't know. There was that. Gosh, I think it was one of the Catholics. I don't know. Like I said, I lose track of who's Catholic. Who. But they were describing this big butcher guy. Yeah, but they were describing this big butcher guy who literally is just like chucking people around like they're rag dolls during the brawl.
So what happened? Yeah. So. The idea is that you go in, you buy the thing, he makes you pay, but also, like, you end up having to do something for him. What happens with the Elvis women, the two women? Because we're already here.
They were pretty easy. Yeah, we're already here. They were actually pretty easy to convince to kill each other. Like, he didn't even have to do anything, really. When the lady with the glasses walked in to the other dimension on the lady with the picture, lady with the pictures took her glasses and broke them. So then immediately the lady with the glasses is like, screw this bitch, I'm going back to Mr. Gaunt and I'm going to get something so I can, you know, show her what for. And Mr. Gaunt's like, oh, I understand perfectly. You're 100% justified in your feelings. Here's a semi-automatic pistol. Go have fun.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then the lady with the picture the lady with the glasses shows up at the lady with the picture's house, and just as she's about to shoot her, the lady with the picture pulls out a pistol and shoots her first, telling her that Mr. Gaunt told me you'd be coming, and neither one of them picks up that they're both getting played by Mr. Gaunt. They are both so upset with the idea of just killing the other one and having this apparition of Elvis Presley all to themselves. They don't even think about it. It doesn't even occur to them. And that's how most of the people in the town end up functioning. Like, not everything he sells to anybody is, like, magical. Like, the baseball card doesn't really have any, like, magical properties. He sells, let's see here, the baseball card didn't have any magical properties. The fishing rod that he sells to one of the sheriff's deputies didn't have any magical properties. The doggone foxtail that he sells to the town drunk doesn't have any magical properties. Mm-hmm. Oh, the amulet, though, the little silver pendant that he gives to the sheriff's girlfriend, that does have magical properties. She has, like, horrendously bad arthritis. And it completely takes the pain away. So, yeah. Like, of all the characters in the story, that's the one I'm like, well, you know, I kind of see why you were like, no, no, no. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Just don't make me live with this arthritis anymore.
Didn't they have a weird sex scene, too?
They did. Her and the sheriff. Did.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The sheriff?
Yeah. The sheriff's a good guy, but I had to skip past that a little bit because, like, the very first moment is, how rated R am I allowed to get on this podcast?
I mean, you could go as rated R as you want.
All right.
Sure to mark it explicit.
Yeah. Well, I'll use euphemisms, I guess. I don't know. But either way, so, like, the whole thing starts out with they're doing dishes. And she looks at him and is like, I want you. And he deftly, with, you know, maximum dexterity, reaches around and starts playing with her through her blue jeans. And she has an orgasm right there on the spot.
And he read that.
Yeah.
Just keep that in mind. Stephen King. Oh, my God.
He read this shit, too.
Can I ask how old this lady was?
Oh, they're both in their 40s, I believe. I can't remember exactly their ages. The sheriff's actually, he might be old. He's probably late 40s because his oldest son from a previous relationship which is also a very big tragedy. I'll have to explain a little later on. But his oldest son is like in college. Oh, wow. So he's not a young man anymore. Let's see here. What else can we go on about? Well, does anybody have any questions while I think of something else interesting to say?
For his TED,
is it like deals with the devil vibes? Like, isn't it? Is it just that they have to do a thing for him, but also like a sell a soul situation, or is that why they end up doing the things?
No, it's so once you've bought an item from Mr. Gaunt, you will hear his voice in your mind. Like, and it'll just sound, you know, like, you know, oh, you know, that's my dad's voice in my head, or that's my sister's voice in my head telling me, don't do that, or you should do this. You get Mr. Gaunt in your head now, telling you what you should and should not be doing. And for all of the items that he sells, one of the big things is that anytime you would think about doing something out in public where other people could see the item, Mr. Gaunt is in your head telling you, no, because if somebody else sees that you have that, they'll become jealous and they'll try to take it from you. You have to keep it safe. Don't take your baseball card out and show your dad. He'll ask you about it and make you give it back. You know, don't take that fishing rod out on the lake. You'll probably, you know, there's that big fish in there that the old anglers talk about, and he'll break it if you end up catching him on it. You know, you better put that fox tail away, otherwise those kids will just come by and steal it. You know how kids are. They'll just take things to take them. And so you end up hiding the item that Mr. Gaunt has sold to you, jealously guarding it against everybody.
So like Gollum.
Yeah. Yes. It becomes your one ring. 100%. That's exactly how it's described in the books. Like you people.
Got that Gollum moment, and then it's that Gandalf moment of keep it secret, keep it safe.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly how it plays out. And the other thing that will happen is if you are hesitant in fulfilling the task that he gives you, then he starts to destroy the item from a distance. Oh. So like the lady with the Elvis picture, she didn't want to go. She was too busy having fun with Elvis. She didn't want to go do the task. So Mr. Gaunt starts to crack the picture frame, and has the picture start to, you know, grow old in front of her eyes and just to start to disintegrate inside the picture frame. So she panics and is like, yes, I'll go do it. I'll go do it right now. And so she goes and does it. And by the once she's done and comes back, the picture is perfectly fine.
Okay. But she didn't want to have sex with like old Elvis.
So that's like, no. Who would want to do that?
Oh, man.
I'm sure. I don't even know if Stephen King would want to describe
it. That little boy died, right?
That was probably one of the rougher. Actually, no. I will say genuinely that was the roughest death.
The little boy from the beginning, the baseball card kid.
How did he?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. And that's the other way that Mr. Gaunt works is that you're like. When he comes to town, his end goal is everybody dies. Everybody in the town dies. That's what he's aiming for. He's completed his job there once everyone's dead. And either he convinces someone to kill you, or he has you do one of your tasks, lets you see how it ends up killing other people, and then the guilt drives you to suicide.
How did the little boy die?
Suicide. He was in his garage with his dad's shotgun when his little brother came in, and he made his little brother promise to never go to Mr. Gaunt's shop. He's a poison man who sells nothing but poison. And he made him promise. And the little brother was like, I promise on mom. He says, no, don't promise on anyone else's name, just your own. He says, you can't promise on mom. Mr. Gaunt's already got her. And he goes, I'll promise on my name. It'll be fine. Just don't do it. Just don't. Just come with me. We'll go watch TV. We can watch whatever cartoons you want. And yeah, his brother doesn't listen. And he's too racked with the guilt from earlier on in the book. And he shoots himself right there in the head, right in front of his little brother.
And we'll pre-apologize if that's any trigger warnings for anybody who listens to us.
But that was definitely the roughest the roughest one in the book for me.
I would have cried, y'all. I would have cried reading that.
Yeah.
I would have been mad as hell. Oh, I would have been like, we were about to kill Mr. Gaunt.
I was like, man, bring it up.
Did Mr. Gaunt survive by then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's worse. Yeah,
that's very Stephen King, though.
I don't think you could kill Mr. Gaunt.
What is he?
He is definitely some kind of demon of some variety. Yeah, no, he is a very nasty man.
The sheriff didn't get to hurt him or anything?
He hurt him, but he didn't do any real permanent damage. He ended up having to just convince him to leave. Which, actually, I don't know. Is it customary for you guys to jump around in the story, or do you guys try to tell the whole story like
it? 100%.
Oh, we're everywhere.
Like squirrels.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It just depends on what's going on and what part of the story we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll actually go ahead and jump into how the sheriff convinced Mr. Gaunt to go away. I'm not sure what the justification behind it was, but I like to believe that it's one of those things where because Mr. Gaunt is like basically using illusions the whole time, the sheriff, who is also an accomplished magician,
of course.
Like he uses little tricks to, of course he is. He's an accomplished magician, and he uses his little tricks to make everybody feel at ease. And, you know, pulling a bouquet of flowers out from nowhere and finding quarters in kids' ears. And he's an accomplished with shadow puppets. And one of his deputies loves the shadow puppets. It's hilarious. But anyway, but at the very end, when he's facing down Mr. Gaunt, he pulls out one of those snake in a can tricks that his youngest son had purchased, and he opens up the can, and the snake pops out and turns into a real snake and attacks Mr. Gaunt. And yeah, so then the sheriff is like, oh, well, let's see what else becomes real around here. And he starts doing shadow puppets, and they keep mentioning Cujo in this book because this one of the previous books Stephen King had wrote in Castle Rock was Cujo. So they keep referencing a giant St. Bernard that growls angrily and stuff, and so when the sheriff does a shadow puppet of a dog, you can hear the dog growling in the background and all this stuff. And when he pulls the bouquet of flowers out from under his wristwatch, it turns into a like this beam of light that he then uses to like shoot Mr. Gaunt with and cause some damage. But it was interesting because like there was no way to stand against him in a normal way. You had to use tricks and magic the way he's been using it in order to fight him. And I really enjoyed that.
That's really cool. Yeah. Because also his tricks are like things that make people happy, whereas Gaunt's makes them do evil things. So it's literally a...
Yeah.
What happened to the Nikki? Oh my gosh, that does sound like little... Oh, I gotta go back and watch that.
Wait, which one?
What happened to little Nikki?
Yeah. The Adam Sandler movie? You're just like, release the good!
Oh my god. So what happened to the sheriff's girlfriend? She died?
No, she makes it all the way to the end.
Oh.
She is actually the only reason everything worked out. So, for context, she got pregnant when she was a little girl, well, a teenager, not a little girl. Well, she was in high school when she was a kid living in Castle Rock. And so she ran away to San Francisco, and a whole bunch of stuff happened there. But her baby died while she was there. And so, you know, arguing with her parents after that and everything, coming to grips with certain things, she comes back to Castle Rock, but she keeps it all a secret, but everything that happened while she was in California. But she gets really angry at the sheriff and is like breaks up with him and doesn't want to talk to him anymore when she receives a letter that she believes was mistakenly delivered to her that talks about how the sheriff made an inquiry to the social services there where she was at, asking about what happened to her son and what was she up to and all this other stuff. And the letter is very officially saying, you know, oh, it's, we're pretty sure it's illegal for you to ask these things without a warrant, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, I can't believe he would go behind my back like that. I can't believe he would betray my trust. And just, I would have told him when I was good and ready, but, you know, now I can't trust him at all. But, so she's mad at him for a while there, several chapters, until she realizes, and the voice of her aunt, that's another thing that keeps it coming up, is people's, like, a couple people's dead relatives keep coming back and, like, whispering in their ears about, you know this is wrong, right? Like, you know you're being stupid here, right? Like, you know you shouldn't do that, right?
That's very Stephen King, though.
Yeah. But either way, so her aunt, her great aunt, I think, was comes into her mind and is telling her, you looked into it all wrong. You didn't even ask him. You just got mad. And she goes, well, yeah, because I'm justified in that. And she goes, yeah, right? You're justified. And they go back and forth a little bit, but eventually her aunt kind of like leads her to the truth that the name she used in California was not the name that the letter was addressed to. It was the name that she used back in Castle Rock. So then she thinks about it. She's like, wait, I never told the sheriff what name, like, yeah, he knew what name I've gone by before, but like, there's no reason he would have asked for that name. And even if he did, the social services in California would have been like, who? We don't know that person, because she didn't use that name. So she's like, now there's inconsistencies. There's things that don't make sense. And that's how she was able to then break the spell that Mr. Gaunt had on her, because she realized, oh, wait, that's not true. It can't be true. It's this very minor little inconsistency that let her break free. And then she was able to start, she went and was able to save the sheriff from his curse and got him to break out of his curse so that then they could face down Mr. Gaunt curse? Together. His curse, so I have to explain his backstory a little bit there. So he had a previous marriage, and his wife had died along with his youngest son in a car accident. I think they said 18 months or some such thing previous to the book starting. Yeah, so he's still utterly distraught about that. And throughout the book, they explore little bits of how he reacted to it when it went down. You know, he's the sheriff, so he went into full investigative mode and was trying to figure out, like, why? You know, why didn't she have her seatbelt on? Why did she go careening off into the woods at, 70 miles an hour? She had our son with her. You know, why did she do that? What in the world? And that's actually another thing I really enjoyed about this book was the voice of, I can't remember if he called it depression. No, it wasn't the voice of depression, but it was the voice of guilt, basically. Mm-hmm. And the way Stephen King describes it is that whenever the sheriff stops and starts thinking about it, the voice comes in and it goes, hey, did you forget about me? That's okay, because I didn't forget about you, and I'm here to do my job, which is remind you that your beloved wife and your youngest son, they're dead. And you know what? Tomorrow, they'll still be dead.
That is,
and
so
you know whose fault it is? It's your fault, because you should have known better than to let her leave with him. But you know what you didn't do was say anything. You just let it happen. And don't worry, you'll never forget, because I'll always be here to remind you.
That is like very Stephen King, by the way.
Pennywise vibes.
Oh, that voice.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that was.
That's Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Yeah. What are you talking
about? That is.
You know, I could straight up hear this voice just busting through the sheriff's mind. Here's Johnny, you know.
But you were saying, what was the sheriff's curse?
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, the whole book, Mr. Gaunt has been making sure that the sheriff never actually makes it into Needful Things, because he knows that the sheriff isn't going to fall for his tricks so easily. So at the very end, the sheriff finally makes it into Needful Things, and there's nobody else there. And Mr. Gaunt has left a letter saying, hey, don't you want to know what happened to your wife and kid? Don't you want to know why things played out the way they did? And he knows he shouldn't look. He has a voice in his head saying, don't look. It's not going to go well. It's not going to work. It can't be true. Don't look. And he does it anyway. And Mr. Gaunt left a cassette tape, a VHS. And he puts the tape in. And the tape is from the perspective of somebody like standing off in the area where the accident happened. And he gets to watch as his wife driving their car comes around the corner and the town criminal, I guess you would say, a guy who goes by the name Ace, is driving in the opposite direction and comes up behind her, I believe, and like bumps into the back of her, but kind of does like some kind of, maybe some kind of pit maneuver or something, but causes her to have the accident. Mm-hmm. And the tape shows Ace just laughing his butt off about it, because some years prior, Ace actually went to Shawshank Prison for 4 years because the sheriff had caught him and convicted him for selling drugs, I think, or something.
Oh, that was another reference then to another book.
Oh yeah, they talk about Shawshank Prison regularly.
So because he got sent to prison for drugs, he murders that. What? Okay.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say anything considering my own family history, but, you know.
Dateline episode.
Yeah, but either way, that was the curse, and that was the needful thing that the sheriff purchased from Mr. Gaunt without even realizing it. Was being able to blame somebody for his wife and his son's death.
That wasn't himself.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his wife's fault. It wasn't, apparently, after the medical examiner discovered that his wife had a brain tumor that they didn't know about. And they talked about how that can cause you to do, you know, crazy things based on where the tumor was. So that was the general consensus of everybody that was sane, was that the tumor finally got to her because nobody knew it was there, and it caused her to go a little crazy, and she caused the accident.
Oh my gosh. Like, how, I don't like the ending of that book, that he gets away. I don't know why I have been on this kick lately where I just, if it's an unfulfilled ending, I just, I've not been about that life, guys.
Yeah, that kind of fade to black situation with no real resolution.
Yeah, because, like, is there even really any? Like, I mean, the sheriff got him to leave town, but where did he go after that?
Oh, it tells you.
So what happens?
Oh.
Where did he go?
He goes to another little town to do same thing. Only this time, instead of being, only this time, instead of a shop being called Needful Things, I think it was called like Little Miracles or some such thing. He changes the name of his shop.
Where, in what town?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the little town. It was just a throwaway. I think it was in like Ohio or something.
Okay, I was like,
it leaves Maine. It's not in Maine. We all know Stephen King, you know, all his stuff for the most part stays in Maine.
So the only
books that makes sense. Sorry, I was going to say that makes sense because apparently Ohio isn't real and just where horror movies go to die.
I think it was Ohio. I don't know. Maybe somebody else who's actually read the book would be able to correct this.
But like, okay, so then is that the only two books he referenced? And that is Cujo and Shawshank?
I think he referenced other books, but I don't. Let me correct myself. I know he references other books. I just don't know which books those are. But you know how you can tell when somebody's, you know, making a little wink and nod at you, and you're like, well, too bad I don't know what you're referencing. I know you're referencing something, but I don't know what it is.
It's like that giant Easter egg hunt that you can't find the egg right in front of you.
Yes, quick, exactly.
Google search says it's Answered Prayers is the new name, and it's a small town in Iowa.
Iowa, there you go.
Answered Prayers.
It's so evil.
My God. That is horrible. That's like I'm really convinced that this guy is a demon. He's got to be.
Mr. Gaunt, yeah.
Yeah.
It says that he turns into like this demonous form at the end there, but it doesn't like outright.
You mean like Pennywise?
Yeah, kind of. It's one of those things.
You've read it, but I never understood what Pennywise was.
So I don't know off the top of my head, but a fun fact about Stephen King actually is that 90% of his horror books reference H.P. Lovecraft. So obviously all of his monsters, whether that's Mr. Gaunt, whether that's Pennywise, whether that's like Hell Carrie, whether it's Cujo, anything like that, it's going to be a reference to an H.P. Lovecraft, like Eldritch horror kind
of. Yeah, in Pet Sematary, it was a Wendigo.
Lovecraftian thing.
But it's like that unseen horror vibe that H.P. Lovecraft has.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that John was in for that. You talk about Pet Sematary because it sounded so good, but also so different than the movie. Mm-hmm. That you like. I'm excited to hear about. And for anybody listening, Carrie is our next book in that we're going to talk about, and I am super excited. I love. At least the movies of Carrie, not the roommate. Oh,
the book is so good.
I'm so curious to see whether or not Carrie's an actual. I don't think she's a villain. I think she's a victim of her circumstance. Mm. But it also sounds like Stephen King does a lot of that, because from this book that John's talking about, Needful Things, it sounds like everyone is literally a victim of circumstance. Yeah, really
real quick.
Yeah. It, wrong place,
what,
wrong time.
What needful thing would cause you to do a thing, do something for Mr. Gaunt? What would be your needful thing?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Because each of the things is like super customized for the individual receiving it. The sheriff's
deputy didn't know they needed it.
That's part of the big thing that he pulls is, you know, you don't go into his shop thinking, oh, I hope he's got a picture of Elvis Presley. Is you go into his shop and then he just so happens to have something that you had no idea you needed so badly. And that's how he gets you.
I know, living in Washington State, like an unlimited bank card at this point.
You mean Alaska too?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That was a really good question. I mean, do you guys have a needful thing?
Well, any listeners, if you have an idea of what your needful thing would be, you should leave it in the comments on either Instagram or on, do they have it where you can have comments on the podcast?
I think so. Whether or not on the podcast, but you can definitely leave it on posts on Instagram. Yeah. I'll make a post about it.
Oh, yeah, our TikTok, too.
Well, I know, like, we went...
For sure.
Like, as a family, we went to... There's a 105-year-old, costume shop here in town.
I love that.
Shooting the name immediately escapes me. Caulfield's. So we went to Caulfield's Creep Fest.
Yes.
This past week, or last weekend. And so one of the things, like, so you're just walking around and it's all these little, because of course, you know, I like horror. And so there's all these little things. And it's not until, like, you really lay eyes on something and then you're like, I need it. And like, the whole time I'm just like, so one of the things, and I actually get it. Like, we buy stuff and then we save it for holidays. And my anniversary with my husband is tomorrow, actually. And so I got he bought me something. And it's a gizmo from Gremlins. It's one of those giant pins. It's got a Funko Pop gizmo on top. And, like, I needed it so bad. I was like, this, it's not that it'll make my life complete, but it will sure as heck make me happier. And I feel like that it's that level of, like, just that kind of, because it was like an Elvis Presley or like a baseball card. It wasn't something they truly needed, but it was something that they loved. Like, they were like, oh, that is so awesome. And it would make me just that slight bit happier. I sadly think it would be a gizmo pin for me.
What about you, Kate? What would be your needful thing?
See, I don't know, because I'm kind of like, do I really need it? I can live without it. It'd be cool, but I mean, I don't really...
Yeah, but so could they. They could live without the baseball card and the Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And that it's just, what is something that would just be cool and you just love?
Actually, I'll give you a little hint of one of the other things Mr. Gaunt pulled. There's another kid in the town with a stutter, and the item that he purchased from Mr. Gaunt was a teapot that he intended to give to his mother. But it doesn't matter what you intended to do. Once you've purchased from him, that's your needful thing. The kid ended up never giving it to his mom and just obsessing over it anyway.
How did he die?
I'm assuming he blew up with the rest of the town. I have no idea.
The town blew up?
This is information we need.
Oh, that's a reference to Carrie. That's a reference to Carrie, which again, we will talk about in the next episode. But that is a reference to Carrie.
Really? The town blowing up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I'm so excited to hear about this, Carrie. The town blew up? Who blew up the town?
Carrie.
Sheriff magicians and blowing up towns.
Was always in the shadow of the river. There you go.
But so seriously. I kind of want to broach on the topic, just because I'm not sure what a needful thing is, but the entire time listening to Sergeant Diaz over here, Mr. Jonel Diaz. I felt like I was like visualizing a Twilight Zone episode.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
But yeah. Also weirdly, some of the and this might have been the way you were explaining it, but it also kind of gave like a Park parody of a Twilight Zone episode.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, I'm sitting here visualizing and you start to talk about the sheriff and the lady with arthritis, his girlfriend and all of that, and I'm just sitting here like, I could see this in a South Park episode. And then like the brawl in the street, it sounds like early South Park.
Oh yes. My gosh.
Yes. It. You know what? Like, I didn't think of that listening to it, but now that you say it, 100%.
Okay, now this is going to be a thing. I still need to know how this fucking town blew up. How the town blow up.
And also, Stephen King did write a Twilight Zone episode. I had to squirrel away and find that out.
Oh my god.
This like, explains a lot. But no, so the town blowing up. So let's see here. Ace, the gentleman that the sheriff, actually, I'll go ahead and finish the sheriff's story there. Ace did not do that. He didn't kill the sheriff's wife. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Ace is a right butthole and deserves everything horrible that happens to him. But he didn't do that. So Mr. Gaunt ends up hiring Ace to do like odd jobs for him. And he convinces Ace to work for him by giving him like the best nose candy you've ever had in your life.
Okay.
And that's Ace's vibes. And so he does whatever Mr. Gaunt says. Also, Mr. Gaunt threatens to kill him on many occasions. Overtly, like very, very, like he doesn't say, I'm gonna just kill you, but you can tell that that's what
that's implied.
Yeah. But so Ace is working for Mr. Gaunt, and he's actually the one that travels to go pick up the guns that Mr. Gaunt sells at the end to like half the town. But Ace and then one of the head selectmen, who is also a right butthole and deserves everything bad that happens to him. Anybody who's ever like hated a terrible husband. Will hate this gentleman 100%. He is just an asshole to his wife. He's an asshole to the town. He's an asshole to the sheriff's department, the deputy. Like, the only reason nobody has just, like, buried this man in the backyard is because he's a head selectman and he's, like, in charge of the finances of the town.
Okay.
Yeah. But either way.
If you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. But this head selectman, who the town nicknamed Buster, back when he was a kid, and he hates that name. So whenever somebody calls him Buster, he becomes violently angry. But either way, so the head selectman is hyper paranoid that they are going to come get him, and they are just waiting to mess with him. So it's too easy for Mr. Gaunt to be like, oh, I know all about them, and just do what I say, it will get to them before they get to you. Mm-hmm. So the town had ordered a whole bunch of dynamite for some construction, but the head selectman had signed off on ordering like 10 times as much as they needed.
Oh my God.
So,
of course,
Ace and the head selectman spend the last day of the book running all over town, planting bombs all over town. And the whole backdrop of that final day of the police chief running around trying to figure out the final steps of everything.
So he dies too?
The police chief?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Not the police chief, but the sheriff.
Right? Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
The sheriff running around doing all of his things, and all the backdrop on that last day where everything finally comes to a head. It's just parts of the town blowing up. The bridge blowing up. Yeah. It's like the library, the barber shop, the school, like all these places are just going up in balls of fire as we're reading about these last few characters dealing with, you know, as we're reading about the Baptists and the Catholics beating each other to death in the street and shooting each other and everything. We're also hearing about the explosions in the background being mistaken for the thunderstorm that's also going on. And it's like, nope. that was actually the municipal building going up. That was not a light.
Well, two things to that. First of all, I guess the Catholics were right. We are going to die in hellfire and brimstone. And two, I feel like instead of Elvis, it should have been Jerry Lee Lewis, because goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Nice. I love that comment. And this book is extra. Like, oh my gosh, Stephen King. I need a happy ending in one Stephen King book.
Oh yeah, you don't get it.
He's ambiguous at best.
Yeah.
No, okay, so we gotta do this, Carrie, because I need Carrie not to be dead.
Let's wrap this up and let's go have some Carrie.
Yeah. Let's
do it. Well, I want to say thank you guys for listening. I'm super excited to hear about Carrie, and that will be the last recording in our Stephen King readings. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, John, for like he's on the Stephen King. Oh, sorry, Mr. Jonel Diaz. I appreciate him being invested in this Stephen King's, what is it, saga?
That's just the novel.
I'd say it's kind of like our own mini series.
It is our own mini series. Oh my gosh, we got to do these more often. I like these mini series, guys.
I do too. This is fun.
But I hope that you guys enjoy this episode, and we will see you in the next. Oh, you're supposed to do the shameless plug.
Well, yeah, I was going to. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram at The Last Chapter Podcast and on TikTok at The Last Chat Pod 2. I should be dropping more information later. I've been kind of hectic time. But I'll be posting more information at a later time. Just keep up following for more updates as we get them. And
We have celebrations, you know. Corey's getting to her 6-month mark with us.
Yay, yay.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I love doing this.
Yeah.
6-month mark and an anniversary. Yay. Happy anniversary, by the
way. Thank you. It'll be
yes.
And 14 years. 14 years.
1,000 years. 1,000 years. I remember going to your wedding, but that's getting off subject. Goodbye, dear listeners.
Bye.
Bye.